Psalm 133. We have sung songs that have been based on Scripture, some more closely based on Scripture than others. First, I started out with short passages, and then found the short psalms. And so many of them are in the songs of ascent. The songs of ascent were when the people from all over Israel would go up to Jerusalem. At least three times a year, they were called to go up to Jerusalem, to be able to worship God, to be able to praise Him, to glorify Him. We have come up into the presence of the Holy God to worship Him. But we need to be able to see what He wants from us as we worship Him. But in the past few years, we've gotten to know each other a little bit better. Actually, the first time I ever saw the little town of Tuscumbia, Alabama, was July 1972. Actually, that was the first time I ever came east of the Mississippi River. We've known each other for decades then, and yet we haven't gotten to know each other well. But the last few years since the Lord has brought us back to this area, some of you have gotten to know me. And I think some of you probably have noticed that Gary Natt is a loner. When I was teaching in the Mexican seminaries, I often told my students that my idea of an ideal ministry is to be up on the top of a mountain somewhere and come down into the town in the valley maybe twice a year. Every 6 months is more than enough to see people. The problem is, to whom would I minister up on the mountain? God has called us to minister to those around us. He has called us to serve other people, to work in unity with each other. I've even told them, ministry would be easy if it weren't for the people. It is awfully hard to serve people. And yet, that's what God hasn't just called me to do. That's what God has called us all to do. Without people, there's no service. And as we ascend to the throne room of God, we have to remember that we are ascending together with other people to serve Him, to worship Him. And with that in mind, let us read Psalm 133. Psalm 133. Go about halfway in your Bible and open it up. And actually, my Bible always falls open to Isaiah when I do that. But Psalm 133. This is, hear the word of God. A song of ascents of David. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Amen. This is the word of God. Let's pray. O Lord God, we do thank You that You have called us to ascend the hill to worship You. And now we ask You, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in Thy sight, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. As we've considered going up to worship God, the last time we looked at the childlike humility that is necessary, that we must look at it as going up to see our Father, and that we are His children, that we look up to Him and we follow Him. Now we are there in the throne room as part of that family. And that is what this psalm is talking about. That is what this psalm is leading us to think about and worship. And the first part is, Unity in worship pleases. Now, on the bulletins, if you take notes, of course you have to scratch out the one and write to the side. But unity in worship pleases. I have told the traveler's class, the young couples class, as was called when Carol and I first started attending it, that my students would ask at times what to call me. Of course, they wanted to be polite. They wanted to show the respect. But sometimes, you know, they would say pastor. I don't have to translate because you can just listen to it with the American ear, right? Pastor. Or sometimes they would say professor. They couldn't call me doctor because I started the doctoral program to be able to serve the seminary, but before I finished it, the ministry changed and so I had to stop teaching in that seminary. But they would ask, what can I call you? And my answer was, call me hermano, brother. I thought that would be an easy thing for them to do because in the Mexican churches, you call everybody brother or sister. In fact, that helped those of us who are name challenged. I hear names 15 times and I still forget them. So it didn't hurt to go up to somebody and say hermano, brother, or go up to a lady and say hermana. They didn't care. They said, okay, we are part of God's family. We are part of God's family. Even though we were from different ethnic backgrounds, different cultural backgrounds, but we have a father. And we come to that father through our elder brother, the only born son, Jesus Christ. He's the one that made it possible for us to be adopted into God's family. But not only do we come together in a family, we are also unified in Christ. So often we don't think of the unity of the church. Now some of you may have perfect families where there are never any squabbles among brothers and sisters. I didn't come from a family like that. In fact, just recently one sister got very mad at me and wouldn't talk to me for a while. I explained my situation. She said, I still need time to get over it. But at least we are talking. Not a lot, but we are talking some. But when we are part of the family, we see that we want to be together. Not alone on some mountain somewhere. Not in front of our TV watching the Super Bowl. But we want to be together as part of a family. We want to be able to serve our brothers and sisters while we are serving the Lord. But sometimes, even when we're physically together, we are separated. I'm happy to say that at least the feel I get in worship services here at First Presbyterian in Tuscumbia is that there is a unity, that there is a joy of coming together. And if you don't believe that, then try going from the choir loft down and back to where the traveler's class has been meeting in the social hall right after the worship service. The aisles are crowded. You can't get through. And today, after the Sunday school, we had a lot of things to take back out to the car. And I couldn't get to the boxes because people were standing around in front of the boxes, enjoying the fellowship one with the other. That is what we need to show to the world. We need to show this unity. The church I was raised in was very much into the ecumenical movement. That may have been before the time of some of you, but the ecumenical movement was, we all confess the name of Christ. So we need to be organizationally joined together. Those people were willing not to go to the lowest common, they were lowest common denominator. As low as you could go, okay, what similarity do we have with this other group? Of course, some of those people now are including Muslims and Jews and Buddhists and who knows what else into their fellowships. We're called to be one family, but one family of faith, acknowledging that Jesus is the Lord. There's none other besides Him. And that He has given us His Word that we may know Him and be able to live with Him according to what He wants. This unity is seen by God as having a good taste to God. Our unity, when we come together, when we praise Him, we often hear of the sacrifices as being a good aroma to Him. But we also are good taste. I hope that's not why you come to the Wednesday evening service, that you come for the prayer meeting and just happen to have a good tasting meal waiting for you. But when we are together, God is saying, oh, that is what I'm looking for. That is the flavor that I want. And that isn't just a good taste, but is pleasant to Him. He can be highly pleased by us gathering together. Our unity is better to God than how we are pleased of being in parties with friends, with good food. I wonder, do you enjoy being with God's people? Does the opportunity to join up with others to worship the Lord stir you to joy, whether you are a loner or a people person? Let us be happy about worshiping together, because we should have one grand purpose in life, which is to praise God for whom He is and what He has done for us. But this psalm goes on to a second part. Unity in worship anoints. Unity in worship anoints. Now, whenever I read this psalm, I immediately think of two things. First is, what a mess. Now, that's coming from somebody who was the pigpen of his neighborhood. You know, the Charlie Brown and pigpen. I was the pigpen of the neighborhood. I could be all cleaned up, walking down the hall of our immaculately kept home. My mother was a neat nick. And somehow, from my bedroom to the living room, there was some grease hiding behind the corner, waiting to jump out at me. That hasn't gone away. I have to be careful about door latches when I get in the car, because somehow the grease always jumps out. And yet I thought, what a mess. Have you ever thought of that? The oil running down, mixed with spices, running down all over the beard of Aaron and going down. So I took time to figure out some things. That was about 2 gallons of oil. Have you ever spilled a gallon of paint on yourself? It covers everything. And yet this was 2 gallons of oil. A full anointing. Not just a little oil on the forehead as some of our charismatic brothers used to do. I guess some of the Pentecostals still do that. But all this oil that was coming down. But that's an anointing on the beard of Aaron. We have to remember, Aaron was the first high priest of Israel. And yet, he was the prefigurement of Christ. Jesus, the priest, the prophet, the king. Our unity is anointing him, not just for the priesthood, but for the kingship, and to be prophet to us. That is what he is receiving. And he's not thinking of it as a mess. He is thinking of it as a sweet aroma, as setting himself aside to be special for us. But the second thing I think of is that that's expensive. We weren't necessarily a poor family, but we were far from rich too. Boy, how expensive could that be? If you count it up, you have over 50 pounds of olive oil and rare spices. 50 pounds of oil and spices. When you go to a supermarket, how much does a little bottle of spice cost? 50 pounds of that. Again, just to see what it was worth. It would be at least $3 million just to make that anointing. That anointing is precious. Our unity is precious in the sight of God. And yet, what was the cost to bring us together? What was the cost of that unity? But the cost of the life of our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. God loved us so much that He gave us His Son. And Jesus loved us so much that He gave us His life. He died for us. And He was raised again for us. He is advocating for us. And He will come back for us. That is how precious it was. And He anoints us by His Spirit. Have you been anointed by the Spirit? Do you trust in Jesus for your only salvation? There's nothing besides Him. If you do not trust in Him, then come to Him now. Open your heart to Him, that you may be unified with brothers and sisters here. But also, if you have come to Him, if you have been anointed by His Spirit, are you pouring out His Word to other people, that they may be anointed too? That is all part of our unity that anoints. And thirdly, unity in worship nourishes. Now you may look at that and say, oh, where does it say that? But it talks about the dew on Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon was known by other names, Syria and Sinir. But it is located in the northwest coast between Israel and Lebanon. It's a coastal desert. It doesn't rain much there. Now, Carol and I, you know, lived in Tijuana. It's a coastal desert. It gets, it's about 10 inches of rain a year. Now, there have been times when this area's gotten 10 inches in a day. 10 inches in 1 year. And yet, you just take a stick, put it in the ground, it would sprout. We didn't have any trouble keeping a nice, green, lush garden. Just take a plant, put it in there, or drop a seed on the ground. It would grow because of the dew. Actually, the dew was so strong there that we always called it May gray and June gloom. And sometimes it would even go into July and August. May gray and June gloom. That's because the Pacific Ocean was right there. And then the clouds would rise up from there. And then it would come over and cover the area. Sometimes it felt like it was raining. But that's because we were walking through the clouds. The clouds weren't coming down to meet us. That's how the plants grew. Just by the dew that was there. The plants were nourished from just that dew. Our unity as we ascend to the hill of God to worship Him nourishes us, helps us to grow, helps us to see what the Lord provides. Even when we think we're dry, just meeting together with our brothers in Christ is enough to help us to grow. I wonder, do you receive nourishment from your brothers and sisters as you meet with them in worship? Do you provide sustenance to your brothers and sisters as you join with them? Are you due on Mount Hermon? And lastly, unity in worship blesses. Unity in worship blesses. This psalm ends with Jehovah God commanding the blessings. Jehovah God is the one who commands steadfast love. When we are unified in our worship as brothers and sisters, He is the one that provides the blessings. He is the one who gives us that steadfast love. And Jesus is the one who applies these blessings and love to those who want to ascend together to the throne of grace. In worship of God Almighty. Let us join together in making that ascent together now and forevermore in this life into eternity with Him. And if you cannot see the blessings and love available to God's family, now is the time to come to Him, asking Him for entrance to His throne of grace through Jesus. If you have the entrance as Jesus, but often do not sense the richness or the nourishment and the presence of your brothers and sisters, look more fully to Him and the joy that He gives. If you have that joy in communion with the church, ask Him to give you the ability to be an anointing and the dew of heaven to those who need it. That is what our unity does. It doesn't just nourish us, but it helps others come to know Him and receive that nourishment too. Let us pray. O Lord God, We do thank you that you have made it possible for us to be unified in Christ. That you have made us brothers and sisters in Christ. That you have become our Father. And we do ask you that you send your Spirit, that we can be anointed with him, so that we can be an anointing to other people. We do ask you that you continue to guide and direct us, that we may give your gospel to those around while we are enjoying what we have together as one in you. It's for your glory that we ask this. Amen.